I remember when I was a child of 5, everything was very different then. There were lots of trees in the parks, houses with beautiful gardens, and I could enjoy having a shower for half an hour. Nowadays we use towels with mineral oil to clean our skin. Then my father, before women had beautiful hair, now we have to shave our heads to keep them clean without the use of water. All become Hare Krishna style. Then my father washed his hair with water coming out of a hose pipe. Now my son does not believe that water could be wasted that way. I remember there were save water warnings on posters, radio, TV. Nobody paid attention. We thought water was to last forever. Now all rivers, lakes, underground beds are dry or contaminated. This is 2070. Industry came virtually to a standstill and unemployment reached dramatic proportions. Desalination plants are the main source of employment and workers receive part of their salary in drinkable water. Assaults at gunpoint on the streets for a can of water are common. Food is 80% synthetic. Before, the recommended quantity of water to drink for adult was 8 glasses a day. Nowadays, I am allowed half a glass. We have to wear disposable clothing and this increases amount of litter. We are using septic tanks. Outside appearance of the population is horrible, wrinkled, emaciated, full of sores. Skin cancer, insect, and urinary tracts are the main causes of death. Right? Due to excessive drying of the skin, young people of 20 look like 40. Scientists investigate. No solution to the problem. Water cannot be produced. Oxygen is degraded due to lack of trees. And the intellectual capacity is severely impaired. Right? The morphology of spermatozoa in many men has changed. Babies are born with deficiencies, mutations, and physical deformities. Government makes us pay for the air we breathe, 137 m³ per day per adult person. People who cannot pay are expelled from the ventilated zones with huge mechanical lungs driven by solar power. Air is not of good quality, people can breathe. Average life expectancy is 35 years. Some countries, there are some green zones crossed by rivers, guarded by heavily armed soldiers. Water became a coveted treasure, more precious than gold and diamonds. Where I live, no trees, it seldom rains, acid rain, seasons are affected by atomic tests and contamination. We are warned to look after the environment. We were warned, but nobody cared. When my son asks me to talk about my youth, I tell him about the green fields, beauty of the flowers, the rain. How pleasant was to swim and fish in the rivers and dams, to drink all the water, and how healthy people were. He asks, Daddy, why there is no water? Then I feel a lump in my throat. I cannot help feeling guilty because I belong to the generation who contributed to the destruction of the environment or simply did not take into account all the warning signs. Now our children pay a very high price. I sincerely believe that within a short time, life on earth will not be possible as the destruction of nature reached now an irreversible stage. How I would like to go back and make mankind understand that we still had time to save our planet Earth. So this was made by Abdul Kalam. So therefore, don't worry, this is not Vedavakya and this is not a Shastric prophecy, but this is made in order to alarm the modern society sufficiently so that people take some steps. So the intent behind this is actually so that people take it seriously. So many of these slides could be exaggerated and many of these facts may or may not come out to be true, but the whole idea is that we should appreciate and understand how important this issue is. So therefore, in the West, because the degradation began earlier than here, so the impact of that has already hit there. As Prabhupada said, Indians are always the new crows. They are following gradually behind. So there they already used to have 2-3 cars in 1960s and 70s. Here we are excited about nano. So we are just only 40 years behind. So where they are already thinking of giving up the cars, we are going in lakhs to book our new cars and new vehicles and new this and new that. So therefore things are coming to a full circle. And we decided that let us give a Vedic perspective on this. And I would like to invite His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu, who is one of our ISKCON climate warriors. And he has always been a very, very conscientious person regarding environment and ecology. He's done his B.Tech in civil engineering from Sardar Patel College of Engineering, very prestigious school in Mumbai. And then for the last 15 years, he has been very actively involved with preaching, especially to college students, and now he's also heading a congregation at Ratnagiri. And more importantly, his personal lifestyle has always been very, very close to nature, right from 15 years from the time he joined. So I would say that he's ahead of everyone by 15 years. Like for example, even while using, you know, taking a bath in the bathroom, he will never use, electricity. Even if it is dark. So that's like something which no one can imagine. I don't think too many of you have walked from VT station to Chowpatty. How many of you plan walking up and down VT station to here? So that's like for him, you know, going from here to the Narayan stall. He can go up and down. And walking is like one of his passions, trekking is one of his passions, but the intent is like as much natural you can be rather than depending on external sources and fuel. Wherever he goes, he carries his water bottle, not plastic, but glass. So behind everything he does, there is a lot of logic and reason, which most of the average common men, you know, common brahmacharis, have not been able to understand and appreciate so far. But now that the wave of ecological tumult is hitting the shore of India, so we are able to see the sagacity in all of his lifestyle changes which he has incorporated many years back. And he is going to be one of the leaders in leading this change. So I would like to invite His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu to share his realizations on the Vedic perspective of environment. Let us welcome him by loudly chanting. We can now have the lights. You can switch on the lights, please. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to thank all of those who have taken out their time, energy, and decided to join this discussion on this topic today over here. As the topic goes, Vedic perspective on environment, I won't discuss two things because which are very common, we hear everywhere, and which are available in newspapers, magazines, and net, that what are ill effects happening all over the world, like some raising of water levels, polluted water, so many diseases, cancer, that we all know and we have all heard many times and we are hearing still. So I won't go into much detail of that aspect because the results are visible to us. As the WHO says, in the present time, one out of every three persons, at least, maybe more also, are going to die because of cancer. Another one third are heart disease and blood pressure, all are avoidable diseases, all two of them. These are all lifestyle induced diseases. So I won't go much into the detailed part of these ill effects, because we are all experiencing and we are seeing all around. I won't give time for that much. And I will discuss in detail, because that is required, not detail, in short, about what this environment is. And then I will go on the Vedic perspective. Basically, my discussions will be based on the first three verses of Ishopanishad. But a good point here is, don't think this is a negative lecture. In the sense, give up this, give up that. The motto of the lecture by the end will be enjoy life, but according to Krishna's plan. So you enjoy life. See, life is meant to be enjoyed. But Krishna has set some standards for us to enjoy, so that we'll come up in the latter part of the seminar. So first, as per the definition of ecology, it says interdisciplinary scientific study, many disciplines of science are involved, of the totality of organisms and the climate and the environment around it. So basically environment, climate, water, earth, soil, air, the surroundings, plus all the living entities, all the organisms, and study of them totally is called environment. And here is one mistake which modern man is doing against his definition. Modern man is trying to advance his own cause. And the definition says environment or ecology is interdisciplinary study. There's a great interconnections between all the species on this earth and whole surrounding and environment. If you make a mistake, like a big circuit, complex circuit, even if you cut a wire at one place, there will be some problem happening. It's like grid network, power grids. They are connected to each other. If there is some short circuit, the whole network falls down. Similarly, this environment, all the species are highly interdependent in their existence. We may not be aware of, but there is a great degree of highly complex interdependence. And what the modern man has been doing for past many years is to trying to advance his own cause, only Homo sapiens. It wants to see that only Homo sapiens flourish. Even within them there is some Europeans, Asians, Americans, men, women, black, white, tall, short. But they fail to understand that we are not the manipulator of environment, but we are rather a part of it. If we try to manipulate the environment, what will happen is we'll ourselves get manipulated. If we try to control the environment, what will happen? Because we are not the boss of environment, we are a part of environment. And then we ourselves will get controlled. So this point, according to the definition of environment, a human being has not been able to understand. That if we create some disturbances in any links, any connections, it will ultimately come to him. So for past 80, 100 or 200 years, modern science and modern man has been trying to advance his only own cause and not caring for anyone else, anything else, nothing, for his own selfish cause. And it has boomeranged because everything is interconnected. The same things, same activities which people, as Gaurang Prabhu said, having three cars and all these things, have boomerang. And they understood by our own activities, we thought we can control the nature, but ultimately the nature has controlled us. So we should make this one point clear before going ahead, that we are a small part in this material world environment. We cannot control it. We can cooperate with it. And if we manipulate, our life will be manipulated. Then going ahead, I would like to make one more difference over here. In our standard ISKCON classes or Vedic study classes, we make there are four things common between man and animal, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And one thing different is intelligence or dharma. But I would say, four things are common, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So animals do, man do. But man is less intelligent in these four things. Man, present day man doesn't know how to eat, what to eat, when to eat. Present day man doesn't know how to have sex life or mate with another opposite sex. When, there are regulations, there are everything good, bad regulations. They don't know how to sleep, when to sleep. They have to be educated. There are pills required for all these things, digesting pills, sleeping pills. So in these four things, modern man is actually lower than the animals. They are common things, but modern man is lower. For example, I would like to make a story, and this will be a story basis of our discussions further. Once a man, not a man, a shopkeeper, he was a man, but a shopkeeper, he had some, you know, this dhaba on the highway, off the highway. They say some tea, pav, and things like that. So, what happened? He had a pav or bread, which was 2 or 3 days old, so it was smelling. So, the worker in the shop threw that pav to a dog on the street. The dog came, sniffed it, and went away. He did not eat it. So, owner said, no, it will not work that way. Get it here. Put that nice masala to the pav and give it to the humans. They will eat. They will not understand what is to be eaten or what is not to be eaten. And he did that. He got the pav again off the road, just dusted it off, put some nice masala, chalk, cut it, some gravy, and the next man came and he was happy. It's a very tasty. So what I want to make from this point, the animals have been given capacity naturally to understand how they should behave, what they should eat, how to sleep, how to mate and how to defend. For example, many times I travel outside cities, that's my favorite. So one college where I go to preach called Donere, there is nothing except the college. And college is around 1300 acres, only few, around 2000 students in group hostels. So basically everything else is empty. When I sit to chant, I notice one thing. The first daybreak at 5:30 or 6:30 as per the summer and winter season, the first daybreak happens, the first twilight comes in. At that moment, the birds start chirping. They don't do it before that. They are sleeping nicely. And the day sets, the sun sets, they are into their nest again. Sometimes we go to, we see, I was in Ayodhya, I saw this. So many monkeys were disturbing us. Because of some modern heavy city life, the monkeys may not follow this rule too much, but I have seen, mostly they follow. Ayodhya, we are staying in one Birla Dharamshala. Very good, but they are all protected by these frames to protect us from monkeys. They would disturb us during we eat every time, whole day. But as the sun sets, after 7 p.m, they will be sleeping right there and we will be eating, but they won't disturb. They are well asleep. So the animals know when to sleep, when not to sleep, what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat. A tiger is very ferocious. He eats deer. But the deer, by looking at a tiger, knows, is the tiger empty? Means his stomach is empty or his stomach is full? When the tiger's stomach is full, deer understands. And he will walk right past the tiger, and the tiger will not eat it. Will not kill it. The tiger knows, no, my stomach is full, I don't need any more food. But human beings, do samosa ho gaya, tesa bhi aega, aur ek khalo. Aur do gulajam hai, usko bhi khalo. Abhi ek feast ho gaya, chalo Govinda, main sponsor karta hu, aur ek bar chalo. I am paying, come on. But the deer knows, this tiger is not going to eat me. Because his stomach is full, he will walk off. And tiger will also sleep. But after 2 days, when the tiger is empty, the deer will not walk close by. He will stay away. So animals, they follow the rules. They are more intelligent in this way. Because nature has given those basic intelligence. But we say, oh, humans, we don't know. We can't smell the bread and understand it is old or new. Same thing about eating, sleeping, mating and defending also. As Navagendra Maharaj 2 days back was making out in his class, I will just repeat one point and go ahead. That many times in other species, dirty species like crows and hogs, The males and females, they move around with each other. But they don't look at each other until, in a lusty way, till that act of sex is required. Even tigers, they come together only once in a year. They are well restrained in matter of sex life than humans. But humans eat anytime, sleep anytime, have sex life anytime, think of sex life 24 hours a day, modern society. Animals don't do that. A male crow and a male crow and female crow may be just eating grains, they won't think about sex life. They won't look at each other also. But human society is so advanced, I don't know what it is. So, my point is, how should you humans understand what to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, how to defend? By their own senses? By looking, by hearing, by smelling? No. Humans have not been given that capacity to understand what is good for them in matter of their daily activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They have to learn it from Vedic scriptures. They guide them. Intelligence. And intelligence, Sisa Gopinath ki jai. And intelligence in what way? Not speculated sense gratification based intelligence. But intelligence based on Vedic scriptures. So, this dog and pow story will be basis. That we should learn how to behave not based on our sense gratification or sense perception. If I like, it is nice for me. No, dogs have been given that power. Animals have been given. Humans have not been given that power to the senses to understand what is good for them. When to sleep or what all these matters. Their knowledge should come from the Vedic scriptures. The way to, therefore elaborate Vedic scriptures are given in the matter of even how to brush, how to eat, how to drink, which water to drink. All this knowledge has been given to the animals instinctively. They won't drink a wrong type of water. So, I'll go ahead, and therefore this importance of Vedic scriptures has been established for our lifestyle. Then after going ahead, I would like to point out three basic verses, which we all know, but we'll look at in this angle today, from the Ishopanishad. The first verse, I'll say the verse and then the translation. And if we try to lead our life as per the instruction of these three verses, our life will be completely different experience. The first verse is, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. I won't go ahead because I will take the points which are concerned with today's discussion. Basically, the creator of this world, the Supreme Person of Godhead, is perfect and complete. That is the one point which I want to take out from this verse. And second, this world where we are living, this environment, we call it, or ecology or earth, whatever we call it, is perfect and complete for the sustenance, maintenance and provisions for all the species. Whatever imperfectness we see or we perceive is because of our own imperfect behavior. Animals don't behave imperfectly. Human beings behave if they don't follow the Vedic instructions. Human beings have to follow. Vedic instructions are for human beings. So two points. Creator is perfect, complete. The creation is perfect and complete. Second verse. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkin jagatyam jagat tena tektena bhunjitha ma grudhakasya svidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate within this world is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota. And Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah. and one should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. So, 2 points here also. Everything in this world is owned and controlled by the Creator. We neither own anything. We may call, I own this, I own that. But we actually don't own it because we don't control it completely. And we are neither the control of this world. As I mentioned, we try to control the environment, and ultimately what happened? The environment is controlling us. And second point, the Creator has given every one of us his or her quota. And we have full right to take it. But we have no right to take another person's or another being's quota. And then third verse, which is very important. The first two verses were restrictive in nature. But the third verse, kurvanneva karmani jiji vishechatasama evam tvai nanyathe tosti na karma lipyate nare. Again, 2 points here also. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in this way. For that sort of work will not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. First thing is, one may aspire to live for hundreds of years. So Ishwamesh is giving that right. Yes, you can desire to go on living for hundreds of years. Now that means we can have our life, full life, of satisfaction and joy. That's not denied over here. Environmental living doesn't deny you joy of satisfaction. You can have your quota. But you should live in the way in which the first two verses instructed. And there is no other alternative to this for man. If man chooses any other alternative, severe reactions are going to come to him. It may be on a personal level, a social level, or a global level. Either way. Some individual, a small group, or a universal group. There is no other alternative. We have to accept the first two verses instructions. This world is perfect and complete. There is no scarcity, no problem. If we follow this rule. Second, the Creator is perfect and complete. That was the first, this was the second. Third, everything in this world is owned and controlled by the Supreme Creator. Fourth, there is quota of enjoyment, joy set aside for everyone. And we have full right over that, but we don't have any single right on another person's quota. Fifth, one can desire to live for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years means we can have our full life. We may not starve, but we should know how to eat. Now sometimes people think we have to starve, ecology means no. We should know how to eat. And sixth point is, there is no other alternative to man than this. If we choose any other alternative, we are going to get reaction. So, there are few more practical points that come out of this discussion, which I would like to point out today. Basically, you may think, what about ecology? When one reporter called me today on the phone and was asking, what are you going to speak? So I told what we discussed up till now. He said, but what about ecology? I said, I don't only give practical because practical without theory is useless. So I can give some practicals, don't use plastic bottles and this and that. But still you have proper philosophy in life, that won't last long. And you may not be satisfied why I should not use. And so we should have proper philosophy in life. Then these external changes can be convinced, inspiring and helpful. So what I am discussing, like I went to learn a car driving. There are practical and also theory. Theory, they teach you basics of the car. Car driving practical means only how to handle the steering and the gear. But many more details to it, practicals. And that is also equally important. I would say rather from my experience more important. Although people neglect it. They teach you some basics. Like if there is some carbon in the spark plug, how to clean it. If there is some tire puncture, how to change the puncture tire. And they are important because you may know how to drive the steering, but on the highway, nowhere, middle of nowhere, if a car gets punctured, you can't do anything. Or sometimes, my practical case, I did not learn these theory classes, and in our bus party, we had one bus party, I don't know, Mathura, some of us were there with us. We traveled to this paint, Ispat Industries. And the first day all our books were over. So we came back. While coming back, the driver said there is very less fuel in the tank. We should put fuel. So night 7 o'clock while coming back to Bombay to again take the books and go back next day, we filled our fuel tank. Although the indicator was not showing, but we filled. The man who put in the fuel said, I have already put 40 liters. It's full now. I can see. So he said, okay, indicator is not showing. 40 liters has gone in. So we came driving to the temple. We loaded our books. Next day morning we started from 5 a.m. By 6 a.m. we were in Chembur and the bus stopped. And I was starting English and bus is not working. I said, what happened? We all got down here, there looking. Then another truck wala passed by. He heard the ignition sound. He said, there is no fuel. I said, no, there is 40 liters of fuel. Another truck wala came. He also heard. He said, there is no fuel. Check it out. I said, no, it's just there. Then Raghupati Prabhu was there with us the next day. He was not there the first day. He was a good driver and also knows the theory. So he asked, let me check the fuel. So he opened the tank. Where the fuel is put in, the pipe. I said, hey, is this the fuel hole? He said, yes. I said, I put the fuel yesterday in the water tank. Yeah, in the bus here, water tank. So I put it there, 40 liters of diesel in the water tank. And then we washed our hand. We saw, yeah, it smells some diesel in the water. So the theory is more important than the practical. Then what we had to do, again we had to go, get more diesel, put in, then you have to park the bus overnight so that the water and the diesel separate. Then first we drain on the water and took all the diesel. But then there is a great trouble. So theory is more important and practical has to follow. So I am discussing this philosophy because without this, there won't be much point in just telling what a practical tip may come about. Because if you know the philosophy, right philosophy, the practical tip, you can understand on your own. If you think in this direction, of the Ishopanishad verses, the practical points can come out on your own reasoning and understanding. But if I just tell, our intelligence will work to how to circumvent that practical tip. So I won't go. I will go. That is also good part, worth listening. But still, philosophy is more important. So after telling some practical, like conclusive points that come out of this, more than what I have read, 6 points, two per verse. Is yes, man can enjoy life. But enjoy in a way Krishna wants us to enjoy. Don't enjoy in a way your mind wants you to enjoy. That difference we have to understand today. If we start living life and enjoying, I'm not against enjoying life. Or Vedic scriptures are not against. They say yes, you eat nicely. But according to Krishna wants you to eat. The instructions are there in the Vedic scriptures. And then, enjoy right things as per Krishna's plan and enjoy your own quota, not others' quota. These two things, if every one of us follow, all ecological problems will be solved. Both ways, we have to make changes at individual levels and we also make changes at the global or national levels. I here had no much influence in politics or government, so I am speaking to all individuals. Around 100 or 200 of you over here. It's basically very easy. If all individuals start asking for ecologically friendly things, automatically the ecologically unfriendly things will vanish from the market. Also, we have to do effort on the higher level. I agree with that. But here, I am speaking to individuals. I will not give what government should do. Because I don't think myself can do much here and maybe if you are, some of you have some influence in the, say, in the municipality or government, then we can discuss separately. But after this, on a day-to-day life, I would like to say that yes, enjoy life, but enjoy in a way Krishna wants us to. That will give us some pleasure and also it will keep our environment positive, helpful. Also, one more thing as a devotee, some people may ask, many of you are practicing spiritualists over here. Some of you may be guests. But many of the practicing spiritualists, or I term it as devotees, may ask, what difference will it make to me if I lead my life ecologically? in my spiritual life. I can tell something from my own experience, is that it becomes easy and favorable to practice Krishna consciousness. It may not be the compulsory aspect. I agree with that. I'm open-minded about that. But it becomes very easy to control senses. Mind becomes pacified. We can chant more attentively. We can do our spiritual practices much better. Because the laws of karma are acting on us also. As Krishna, as Ishopanishad says, there is no other alternative to this than man. For man. There is no other alternative to this way than man. So we are also man. Just because we are devotees or spiritualists doesn't mean we are not man. We are also humans, still influenced by the laws of karma, although we are trying to get out of it. So my experience has been, your life becomes peaceful, joyful, satisfied, more free from bad karma, and therefore its subsequent reactions, and it is a very favorable condition to practice spiritual life. It may not be the compulsory one. What I mean to say, I'll go to some practical point for 10-15 minutes and then end up a short discussion, and if somebody has any comments or questions, I will take that. But basically, as Srila Prabhupada, when he wants to instruct farm communities, he said, grow locally and consume locally. Whatever we need, and actually this is, as I said, Om Purna Madha Purna Midam Purna Purna Mudachate. I am going to another detail. With Jai Satchinand Prabhu, I spoke this in one Bhagavatam class, and Jai Satchinand Prabhu said, you should say it again today. So I said, okay, if it comes, I will say. This world is highly amazing and perfectly created. I will tell you one example. And tell you how wonderful it is made. Perfect for the time, place and circumstance. All of you have heard the name earthworms. And it is said they are the friends to the farmers. They create, just by eating dust or soil, they create very wonderful fertilizers. It may appear just like our industry. Some raw material goes in. So suppose I put the same raw material inside, the same product will come out. Earthworm, the industry of God, is not so foolish. Earthworms, although so dull and less intelligent, are so highly sensitive to their surroundings. If you put an earthworm over here in the ground, the dung or the fertilizer it will produce, that is its waste product, will be the suitable one for that ground. If you take the same earthworm and put it 100 meters away, the composition of its fertilizer or dung will be separate as per the requirement of that ground. And if you take the same earthworm and put 1 kilometer away, again, the composition of its dung or fertilizer that it will produce will be separate. It is Krishna has made this whole universe so perfect. Even a dull earthworm will produce fertilizer, what is required for that particular place. This world is very perfect. Water is produced is very suitable to be consumed at that place. But a modern man, because of unlimited desires, he wants to eat everything that is produced all over the world. At all the times of the year. And what we do? We harm ourselves. What is best for our body residing in Bombay city will be produced around over here. As per the climatic environmental positions. What is best for Himalayas, it will be produced over there. What is best for South India will be produced over there. What is best for Bengal will be produced over there. Other things can be produced. I'm not saying some, because olive is from Italy, everything is good. Purna madha, purna midam, but locally. I'm not saying this fruit is bad and that fruit is good. But there are so many fruits which are grown locally available to us, mango, banana, chikku, guava. But we, out of this advertisement, become fans. Oh, this is this from Australia, this is this from America. And those people over there, this is banana from Vasai. Oh, wonderful. They eat that way. So foolish. And this is Peru from Allahabad. Oh, wonderful. Somebody in Australia will be saying like that. And you say, Vasai ka kela na, Aridam. This is from New Zealand. Oh, wonderful. Give me. You may say, what is this to do with ecology? Yes, because for these unnecessary desires, so much transportation, oil, ship, pollution is involved. Therefore, this has to do with ecology. So much management is involved. Just if a person, all of us start eating locally grown food, many things can be solved. Most important, enjoy yourself. I am telling for you, your health will be better. If someone eats food grown in America, that will be better for him. The food is good, but there. Food grown in India is good. Food grown in Nepal is also good. But at that place. And to eat in the right time. Eat at the right place and the right time. As Gaurang Prabhu introduced me, I also have begun a program at Ratnagiri, and which is famous for mangoes. We all like. And sometimes people accuse, you know. Okay, I'll come to that point little later. Fruits are costly. But that point we'll take later. Let me finish this point first. Now people accuse, oh, you are telling of fruits, but very costly. I'll come to that point little later. But let us take this case of mangoes, where I have seen personally. Yesterday they showed some video in our Brahmachari class about the ill effects of pesticides. See, Krishna has made this purva adha purnamidam, complete and perfect. The right things grow at the right place for the right human beings to consume at the right time. Everything is perfect and complete. Mango should be consumed in the month later April and mostly in May, as per our Bombay position, and they grow at that time. But our unlimited desires, we buy a mango patty at 10 to 15,000 rupees a box in February and March. So I tell you, I've seen how they produce. You buy only poison. The right thing which Krishna gives us is the cheapest thing and the best thing. The seasonal fruits and the seasonal grains are cheapest. Sometimes you may ask, Prabhuji, how to know which are the seasonal fruits, which are the cheapest or seasonal? Because non-seasonal will never be cheapest. It's a very easy answer. But we are, I brought this fruit. In month of March, you get it for only 20 rupees a kilo, but I bought it for 100 rupees a kilo. A very good bargain for a poison. Very good bargain for a poison. It's very clear. Krishna has made a right thing at right time at right place. If you follow this rule, most of the problems will be solved. See, you may say, what are you talking about our food? But this has to do with ecology. To grow these mangoes in February and March, I'll take one case and everything is applicable for everyone. There are some MSc agriculture sitting over here, but they may not also know these technologies because they passed 4 or 5 years back or 10 years back. They start giving poisonous injections into the mango branches in the month of December and November. So that mangoes flowering come early. Then they give hormones so the mangoes grow big. And because of this chemical, the tree which has lived for 40 to 50 years lives only for 10 to 12 years. And same thing is going to happen if we eat it. We may enjoy eating mango in the month of February or March, but that we can do only for 10 years. Or we can enjoy it in the month of May for 40, 50 years. We have to decide. And more than that, because it's untimely mango, the more pests attack it. More, therefore, huge quantity of pesticides, and it's all connected. We are discussing ecology. I've seen so many birds getting killed just by inhaling the wafers of those pesticides and insecticides. That comes in the month of February and March with respect to mangoes. So, eat the right thing at right time and right place. First thing. That will help solve the problem in a big way. And not only eat. This is the way you should enjoy life. Intelligently try to find out. See, there is Krishna has made these mangoes in summer. They are very good for us. But then, after summer is over, we want to class 2 preservatives used. And we want to use the mangoes for October, November. No, they are oranges and mosambis. Eat that. For all round year, Krishna has given varieties of fruits. and we can, and vegetables and grains, and we can enjoy that. So I'm not against enjoying life. Man has been made to enjoy life. Not I, very scripture, sorry. But enjoy in a way Krishna wants you to enjoy. And if every individual starts doing it, all the ecological problem will solve. If there is no market for mangoes in the month of March and April, February and March, the producers won't undertake so much costly and poisonous methods. You may say, oh, if 200 of us change, what will happen? There's one story I will tell. On an ocean beach, waves of oceans were coming. And along with that, many starfishes were being washed off. And when the ocean wave will go back, the starfish will start suffering because they are out of water. And one boy on the beach was picking one starfish and throwing it back into the ocean. Thousands were being washed off. One old man came and said, hey, what difference that is going to do? Thousands are being washed off with each wave and you are just picking and throwing one and two inside the wave. The boy answered, he took one, threw one fish inside. He said, it made a difference at least for that one. Begin individually, begin small, things will multiply. I don't know, it was a comment or a good or bad comment or whatever it was, appreciation or, but Gaurang Prabhu introduced me in some various ways in the beginning of my talk about plastic bottles and all these things. Yes, I also began individually. And I never spoke about it much. This is the first time I'm speaking outright. In a public forum, maybe once in Brahmaji class, maybe once, not also. But still, it had an effect. Major devotees, now I see, everyone is carrying different types of bottles in their hand. The one also introduced me. And many other devotees also. So it has an effect. Before we do any act in our life, individually or socially, just think, is it according to Krishna's plan? How to understand that? It should be with minimum disturbance to the nature and other living entities. Two checks. What I am doing, is it disturbing to me, not me, to others, and to other living entities? If it is not disturbing to others and other living entities, it won't be disturbing to me. And if it's disturbing to others, as I said, in a circle, it will come back to us. And another thing, as I said, if you don't, I just observed this, another good point. I just saw three generations of people and how they are suffering from this ecological environmental changes. All three generations, 80 years, 50 years, and 20 years. You can say father, like the main man, the family man, Gurustha, his father, grandfather, and son. 80, 50, and 20. I met two families at one place. All three of them were sitting in front of me. And the 80-year man was straight up, straight sitting, very active, full of energy. We said, okay, we'll just go here and walk and take, do something and come purchase. He said, okay, come, let's go. 50 years man, he was holding his knees. Shall we go? Okay, anyway, it's required, we'll go. And 20 years man, he was like this. Is it required to go? Maybe we'll not go. I am not coming, you go. So I saw these three realities. Three types at the same place. The old man was very active. Oh, let's go. I'm tired, I'm not coming. That's all. Finish. The young man. So as I said, when we do any act, we have to think, is it going to disturb others? Does this, if I eat, sleep, use anything, the whole principle should be minimum disturbance to other living entities. And this is not my, or this is Gita's principle. In Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at one place. I don't remember the exact words, but I can tell you I can just look at the Gita and tell you. These are Vedic principles. They are not ecological or modern science or atheistic principles. These are principles which ordinary devotees should have. Sensitivity to others' feelings and needs. So anything we use, we eat, we sleep, we utilize, we should think, how much it has caused disturbance to others when we use it. Sometimes people, when they ask me, seeing my glass bottle, they say, is it not heavy when you travel? I say, yeah, it's heavy by kg, but lighter by karma. It's heavy by kg, yes, 200 grams more, maybe 250 grams more. But our karma is lighter. What is karma? Karma means good karma, bad karma reaction is there. Karma means if I give some trouble to another, it's karma. If I go and pinch you, it's a karma. If I go and hit you, it's a karma. It may be direct or it may be indirect. It's just like if I stab you, it's killing direct. And indirectly, if I keep a time bomb in your home, which will explode after 2 days, so you will say, oh, I'm not, it's indirect. Or if there is some time bomb and there is some connection and this connection and that connection, if I put on a switch over here and some destructive thing happens 500 miles away, so I'm not connected. You have to be aware. Intelligent man has to be aware. So, everything, it's easy. If once we decide, once we know how much trouble and harm I am giving to others, then we can get the inspiration and decision to change. And the same thing is, I'm not going to say all these things because they are there in the net, but anyway, the topic has come out of plastics, I will say. There's another PowerPoint presentation which Baldev Prabhu showed to me yesterday, that these plastics, they are very, become infamous for leaching out. Leaching means secreting out highly carcinogenic chemicals even when the temperature goes little high and even when it goes little low. Basically, if you keep in the fridge below 0 degrees, it's going to leach out from plastic. Highly carcinogenic chemicals are going to come out. And if you take it above some degrees, so I'm not going to go, but these points are there. Basically, the rule is common. The more disturbance it has caused to other living entities in its production and use, the same thing is going to come back to you. It's material nature's job to see how the chemicals are leached and all these things. That's not anything. The rule is clear. These are details. The rule is clear. What is according to Krishna's plan? Minimum disturbance. See, Krishna's plan is Krishna has given you. I was saying sweets. You all like to enjoy. This is my personal. See, this is now I'm going to a very personal life. My personal experience. One example at least. We all like sweets and it's good. But there's a difference. You see, addictive sweets and non-addictive sweets. What do you mean? I tell my experience. Last month or two or maybe 3 months, I decided, let me decrease the quantity of sweets which I eat. It was very difficult. Because they're addictive sweets, what we generally eat. Out of modern, highly refined sugar and all these things. But there are wonderful sweet fruits like chikus, mangoes, good ripened bananas. They're also very sweet if you get a good one. How much you eat it, they don't become addiction to you. If you get it, you enjoy it. If you don't get it, you don't enjoy it. You are happy with it. You don't have that, addiction means if you don't get it, you just feel disturbed. I want it. You look out for it. You may steal it. You may spend the money if you don't want to spend it. That's addiction. You will go. But, so there are natural ways to enjoy. Other things. Anything which is not as per Krishna's plan to enjoy will be addictive. This is one rule which I experienced from myself. You can enjoy as per Krishna's plan. And eating, sleeping, mating. Yes, attraction to opposite sex is allowed in family life. It doesn't become so much addictive. What becomes addictive is illicit sex. That is addictive for human being. So it is very easy. What is Krishna's plan? Minimum disturbance to others and the atmosphere and which is not addictive in nature. That is Krishna's plan. There are some more points. I don't know what to speak. Oil. This time is also over. But I will conclude today's discussion with this positive end. Man can enjoy life. There's much more good options for you to enjoy. Another point I will say, because I was introduced that I walk a lot. Walking is my passion. Yes, If you don't walk, doctor will force you to walk. Either way. But there's a difference. When you walk now, you are fit to walk. And when doctor forces you to walk, your body doesn't allow you to walk, it becomes a trouble. Walking becomes a trouble. It's troublesome. So better to keep practice right now. See, all things are very, it's actually the same time, you know. You may think, Prabhuji, you go from here to Viti walking. I say, I save time. You save time? Walking from here to Viti, impossible. I said, I save time. I'll give the calculation. Yes, I walk when I don't have a luggage. A heavy luggage, a small bag is okay. Walking from here to Viti takes 40 to 45 minutes. Fast walking 40, slow walking 45 minutes. Taxi takes 25 minutes. At least 20. A bus takes 35 minutes. 25, 35, 45. If you go by taxi, you spend 25 minutes in taxi, 40 rupees for taxi, and then the doctor advises you to walk, so you walk in the evening for 45 minutes. So total time is 45 plus 25, that is 70 minutes. In 70 minutes, you could walk for 45 minutes and travel for 25 minutes. When you walk from here to VT, in 45 minutes you do both things. You do your daily walk, plus you do your travel also. So actually I save time and money both ways. Money is secondary, so let's forget money. Because in the 45 minutes, only 20 minutes are spent extra by me. But I cover up my exercise of 45 minutes. So there is no need to do a separate exercise. You don't have to spend 1 hour over there. So it's logical. It's not illogical. If you think and it's practice, but everything happens by practice. We get bad habits by practice, we get good habits by practice. But to get inspiration for this practice, we have to have some theory. So I won't go further. If anyone has any comments or questions, I can take for 5 minutes if the darshan opens, or else we'll...
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for so nice lecture. Prabhuji, we often see, you know, palak and other green leafy vegetables coming around railway stations, and they're putting drainage water and all. So how good is that for our health and all?
Drainage is better than poison. It's not best, but better than poison. Yeah, you only decide, is drainage better or poison better? You may say, why poison? I will tell you. How does artificial agriculture came out? How the tractors and pesticides came out? We should know the history. After the First World War, before the First World War, horses were used, horses and bullocks, to plow the land, horses to transport. But because of First World War, so many industries were made up to make jeeps and tanks for the war. So after the war was over, the business people thought, what to do with the jeeps and tanks? So they made tractor. Tractor was not invented as a necessity. It was forced as a byproduct. So the tractors came after First World War. And the Second World War, the big industries were set up all over Europe to produce TNT and all other explosives, highly explosive chemicals. So many big industries. And the war was over, Second World War, the business world, what to do with the industry? War is over. No, so much money has gone in. Produce pesticides and fertilizers. Actually, the pesticides and fertilizers are same chemicals used in explosives. We put them in the ground. They explode and kill all living entities. They are highly poisonous, highly toxic. I know. I agree. Vegetables grown on the sewage is not good, but it's better than poison. And best is something better, but still, it's the second choice, not the last choice. It's something close to nature, more than going away from it. Any one comment or question if someone has?
Thank you, Madan Gopal Prabhu, for an explosive presentation. Everyone is really shaken up. you know, and I can say that there are 100 plus brahmacharis in this Chowpatty temple, but only you could have made this presentation, because you really have a feeling for this Vedic lifestyle. So also, you know, we would be trying to organize more of these lectures of awareness on connection of our lifestyle with the environment and what Prabhupada has to say. So this is not just the end of it. So please tune in for future lectures whenever we get the opportunity. And I would like to request Madan Gopal Prabhu to share some of his, you know, other, you know, eco-friendly secrets in personal lifestyle and how it has helped in his Krishna consciousness, or, you know, in improving his overall consciousness.
Hare Krishna. I would like to thank, but as there was one sentence which will clear a lot of doubts, we may ask this one point that, okay, you are saying, if I change alone, what difference is going to make? I told the story of starfish. I would say, yes, if only one person change, it won't make much difference on the whole atmosphere or environment of the world. I agree with that. But still, my experience says, it makes a lot of difference for you as an individual. You remain in a much better state in your consciousness, in your health, in your lifestyle, in your Krishna consciousness. Even though you are in a very dirty situation. As an individual, even an individual change, as I said, is law of karma. Whatever goes will come. But if something less goes, less will come. At least that change will become. If you change individually, individual reactions in the form of better reactions are going to come. So even if one person changes, even if no one else changes, if an individual can make a small change, a better reaction is going to come. Don't have any doubt on it. Don't worry what the world says, what the world does. If you can change, you will get the results. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ghantaraj, anyway, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki.